Hello and welcome to our time of worship for Sunday the 26th of July. It's wonderful you can take part in this, and it looks like our time of being able to gather together is even further away at the moment. But we continue unified by the Holy Spirit. Let me start with our 2 Corinthians reading. 2 Corinthians 13:13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And today, instead of a passage from the book of Revelation to have that big picture of God's majesty, how all-encompassing God is, I've actually got a passage out of Daniel 6. And this is where actually the king gives praise to Daniel's God for saving him from the lion's den. So Daniel 6, 26 to 27. For he is the living God, and he will endure forever. His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. And this is the same God that we worship this morning, who rescues his people, who is greater than any other king or power or authority. And we particularly have that in our Romans reading today as well. I invite you to join with me in our thanksgiving. Gracious God, we humbly thank you for life and health and safety, and for all that is beautiful in creation and human life. But above all, we praise you for our Saviour Jesus Christ, for his death and resurrection, for the gift of your Spirit, and for the hope of sharing in your glory. Fill our hearts with all joy and peace in believing through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our sentence of scripture for today, from Romans 8, 38 to 39. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll explain a little bit more of that when we get to the message. And our prayer of the day. O God, the fount of wisdom, you have revealed to us in Christ the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price. Grant us your Spirit's gift of discernment, that in the midst of the things of this world, we may learn to value the priceless worth of your kingdom and be ready to renounce all else for the sake of this precious gift you offer. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. I'll pray before we hear from God's word that God would speak to each of us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for making yourself known to us and showing the way of salvation through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask you now to teach and encourage us through your word. May your Holy Spirit lead us into your truth, so that we may be ready to serve you for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our first passage today is from Genesis 29, 15 to 28. Continue on in the life of the patriarchs. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my kinsman, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me what your wages. Tell me what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were lovely, and Rachel was graceful and beautiful. Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than I should give her to any other man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife that I may go into her, for my time is completed." So Laban gathered together all the people of the place and made a feast. But in the evening he took his daughter Leah and brought her to Jacob. And he went into her, and Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah to be her maid. When morning came, it was Leah, and Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Did I not serve with you for Rachel? Why have you deceived me?" Laban said, "This is not done in our country, giving the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other one in return for serving me another 7 years." So Jacob did so and completed her week. Then Laban gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm today is Psalm 105, verses 1 to 11. I give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name. Tell among the peoples what things he has done. Sing to him, O sing praises, and be telling of all his marvellous works. Exalt in his holy name, and let those that seek the Lord be joyful in heart. Seek the Lord and his strength. O seek his face continually. Call to mind what wonders he has done, his marvellous acts and the judgment of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant. O children of Jacob, his chosen one. For he is the Lord our God, and his judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word that he ordained for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, the oath that he swore to Isaac and confirmed it to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, "I will give you the land of Canaan to be the portion of your inheritance." A New Testament reading for today is from Romans 8, 26 to 39. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel today is taken from Matthew 13, verses 44 to 58. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore and sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all this? They answered, yes. And he said to them, therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like the master of a household who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left that place. He came to his hometown and began to teach the people in their synagogue, so that they were astounded and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these deeds of power? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And are not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And are not all of his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all this? And they took offence at him. But Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honour, except in their own country and in their own house. And he did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, last week, I hope you're able to watch that recording. Last week, we had the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And this week, we've got something that follows on from there. We've got the sorting of the fish, but first, we've got the treasure and the pearl of great value. And in our culture that has turned its back on Christianity, we may sometimes find it of benefit of being reminded of the immense value of our treasure in God. Forgiveness and relationship with God through Jesus. This is our great treasure. But let me first have a quick look at our Old Testament reading and our Romans reading, then into the Gospel. Now, Old Testament reading, Jacob, who deceived his father and his brother, is now deceived by Laban, his now father-in-law. God's not mentioned, but God sees everything. So Jacob, in verse 30-31, so Jacob went into Rachel also, and he loved Rachel more than Leah. He served Laban for another 7 years. The passage goes on in verse 31. When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So God's not mentioned, but God sees everything. And the primary victim of this story, at this stage at least, is Leah. God saw her situation and God cared. And as the passage continues, maybe next week, God takes the initiative in caring for Leah. Much like what I've been reading in the book of Daniel, you know, God sees everything, God knows everything. You're not overlooked, you're not forgotten. Our Romans reading would be a great passage for theological students to get their teeth into. But again, it picks up on the initiative from God. He called, he justified. There's many questions left unanswered in this Romans passage that we really need the rest of Scripture to help us with, and many different views will be taken. But Romans also explains the value of this treasure that was hidden, or the pearl of great price mentioned in the Gospel. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, the Holy Spirit. Verse 31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Or who can triumph over us if God is for us? This is a great treasure. And verses 38 to 39, nothing can separate us from God. Verse 33, it's Jesus who justifies, that is, makes us right with in God's sight. Jesus who died for us. That last little part of the Romans passage, you know, the nor this, nor that, nor that, often used at funerals, and it's actually an interesting list to go through step by step. And some of these things you may never have thought of. Death can't separate us from God's love, and Jesus has showed that for us, and that's where it's a great comfort at funerals. And there's no powers, height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Nothing created. Now, that only leaves God, and he's not going to separate us. But it also had angels, rulers, things present, things to come. And you really need to start thinking of the spiritual realm, which is outside of our comprehension normally. There is no spiritual power that's been or is going to be or anything like that that will be more powerful than God. And this is some of what you really pick up in the first six chapters of the book of Daniel as well. We've got this amazing world leader or leaders as it progresses. But in all their glory and power, they are not more powerful than God. And get reminded of that from time to time. So we have this treasure either stumbled upon or searched for. And our parables in our gospel answer this whole thing of the value of the kingdom, but also the necessity to respond. Jesus has done everything on the cross. We can't contribute to it other than to respond, giving up the past, and that's the cost for us. So let's get to our gospel reading. We have, perhaps starting in an odd order, the net and the sorting of fish, catches fish of every kind. Nothing is missed out. And perhaps that's an indication for us that everyone will face God's judgment. The net catches all. The evil will be shown for what they are, but the righteous too will be revealed. And it's this future expectation that Matthew returns again and again, and we had it last week in our other parables. And this is really both a warning to the unbeliever and an encouragement to the believers. So we have the good fish, and if you think of last week, that's the wheat. Those who gave up all for the kingdom, whether it was accidentally found or searched for. That part didn't matter, but those who have given up all for the kingdom. The bad fish, last week, they were the weeds. Those who did not respond to the kingdom offer. And again, back in Daniel, in the first six chapters, we have a powerful king who does respond to God's show of power. And after him, with the writing on the wall, we have another powerful king who does not respond and so faces God's judgment. And so in that way, what we've got here, with both the wheat and the weeds, the good fish and the bad fish, and the angels doing the sorting, is shown through the first six or seven chapters of Daniel, but it's right through the Bible. The angels sort the good from the bad, and angels are powerful and have God's authority. Perhaps the best image of an angel that I have, that we have lots at Christmas. But in Joshua 5:13, this is the one that strikes me, is Joshua encounters the angel of the Lord. This is just before conquering Jericho. And he says, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" And with this drawn sword, this huge being, this angel of the Lord says, "Neither. But as commander of the Lord's army, I have now come." And Joshua falls down in worship. And it's, for me, that's a lovely reminder of, is God on my side or on someone else's side, on my enemy's side? Well, neither. But he'll do the right thing. It's not about doing what I want. It's about me following my Saviour. We have those who came across this treasure. We have the farmer who stumbled across this treasure. Now, quite legally, he could go and bury that again and go and purchase the field, and anything there was then his. So he's just stumbled across it, but he's realised the value. We also have the merchant who was looking for the pearl, and when he finds one of particular value, he sells absolutely everything to have it. How's your faith? You realise the great value of what Jesus has done for us. The great value is a positive relationship with God through Jesus' death. What will we give up for the pearl of great price? Will we sell everything and give our all to God? Well, that's really the great challenge for us. Which fish will we be? Will we be wheat or weeds? How do we respond? What consumes our lives? And then to round off our gospel, Jesus goes to his hometown and they did not accept him or his message. They judged Jesus by their previous knowledge of him. Now, what does that mean for us? Well, how might we limit what God might do in our lives? Are we sort of stuck in our ways of what God can do and what God can't do? Perhaps particularly in the realm of the Holy Spirit. Something of tremendous worth can be present and yet not known to others, like in the field. The kingdom is worth everything. Put it in other terms. A one-eyed football supporter may not be able to see the other side of an on-field incident, might not be able to see the full picture. You don't want that to be us in relation to God. That's why I pray that the Holy Spirit would help us as we hear God's word, that the Holy Spirit might bring it alive to us, that the Holy Spirit might speak into our hearts and minds. We might have a particular way of understanding particular scripture or point of understanding God, but might God need to mix that up for us? Might God have something new for us that fits with the whole of Scripture? Not something new that's contrary to Scripture, but something that fits. A bit like all this judgment in the nets and the good are held as precious and the bad are thrown away. Well, as I said, that's what's happening in the start of the book of Daniel, the first six or seven chapters. So it's there all the way through. We might not like it, it might be a bit uncomfortable, but it's there all the way through. And Jesus has provided the way for all people. How do we respond? The wheat and the weeds, the good fish, the bad fish, stumbling across a treasure, do you just keep going? Find this pearl of great price, do you give up all to take it on? It's not really about sort of just doing enough, is it? It's about a matter of taking God's forgiveness and being changed and transformed by that. Now, we all make a mess, and I've had a bit of a mixed week. I've had one day where I was really out of sorts, and again, we have the end of Romans, where nothing can separate us from God's love, but there are these different principalities and powers that seek to trip us up. Satan wants to steal, kill and destroy. He wants to make a mess of everything you do. But God doesn't want that. And God ultimately will free us from all of that. I look forward to Jesus' return. I hope you do too. But like the net, it's Jesus comes as judge and redeemer, judge and saviour. And so it's a matter of people being ready for Jesus' return. Just like the wheat and the weeds, I think Jesus delays his coming out of mercy and grace that people will continue to have time to come. But there will be a point where time's up. The net's brought to the land and the fish are sorted. May we be God's faithful, good fish, and take the message of hope to others so that they too may find salvation in Jesus. The parable reminds us that the great value of the kingdom and the cost is giving everything up for that pearl of the great price or that field with the treasure. It also reminds us that there will be a judgment when Jesus returns, with the net and the sorting of the fish or the wheat and the weeds from last week's reading. There's also that warning not to constrain God to how we've known him in the past, but to be open for God doing new things in accordance with the scriptures. And lastly, there's that great reminder from our Genesis passage that God knows us and God cares for us in all situations. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I invite you to join with me now in the affirmation of faith. Let's say together, we believe in one God who made and loves all that is. We believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was born, lived, died and rose again and is coming to call all to account. We believe in the Holy Spirit who calls, equips and sends out God's people and brings all things to their true end. This is our faith, the faith of the Church. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And as we approach our time of confession of sins, let me read from Psalm 32:1. Happy are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Let us now confess our sins to Almighty God. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have broken your holy laws and have left undone what we ought to have done. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us and change us. By your Holy Spirit enable us to live for you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God desires that none should perish, but that all should turn to Christ and live. In response to his call, we acknowledge our sin. God pardons those who humbly repent and truly believe the gospel. Therefore, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me lead us in prayer. We pray, Heavenly Father, for the world that you love. All those people that you love, as signified with the net catching fish of every type. May we share your love with all people. We pray for those suffering violence or injustice, particularly in these times of lockdown and isolation. We pray too for those struggling with job loss, those struggling just with the uncertainty and not knowing what happens next. We pray too for the persecuted, the exploited, the marginalised. We pray for all those who work for the common good, our politicians, our medical staff, and our law enforcement, including the Defence Force, helping us to stay safe and helping people to abide by the regulations. We pray for all people that need to be in quarantine or other restrictions that they would abide by that. We know at the moment they haven't been, but we pray that your Holy Spirit may work in people's lives, that they think more of the common good than their own liberty. We give thanks for our leaders. We pray for Scott Morrison, his relationship with you. We pray for Daniel Andrews. We pray that you would give them both your strength, your wisdom, and your compassion for others at this time. We pray too for others in government and those in opposition, that they may work together for the common good, put aside their own interests. We do pray too for that accountability and a different voice, but that may be given in humility. We pray for all people that we may think of the welfare of others more so than our own wants and needs. We pray for the church. We give thanks for Bishop Mann and uphold him before you, that you would give him your wisdom, strength, and insight at this time. We pray for all clergy, all those within churches, all those serving in missions around the world, that as many are not able to gather, you would hold us together through your Holy Spirit. For those that do gather, we pray for wisdom and sensitivity that they may remain safe. We pray that you would hold us close, that we may see this great treasure that you've entrusted us with, that we may hold on to it and share your love and reconciliation with others. We pray for those known to us, that they too might grow closer to you. We pray that we might be living examples of those who have found this great treasure, but be people who share it with others. We pray too for our families and friends. We know of your immense care and concern for them, more than ours can ever be, and so we commit them into your care. We pray that you would be with them in their plans for the future, plans that may or may not come about, that you would be with them in their longings, their hopes, and their disappointments, that you might be present in their daily lives, and that using us or others or just intervening yourself, that you may teach them gently of your everlasting love. We pray too for all those who are sick, their family members and those who can't be with them at this time. We pray too for all the medical staff who care for those, many at risk and concerned for their own well-being. We pray that you would guide and strengthen them in all they do. For all those in pain, that you may give relief. All those who are tired and uncertainty, you'd give them rest. For those struggling with addiction at this time, that you may grant them freedom. And if it be in your will, restore all to health and fill their lives with joy. May we bring your comfort to all people. We pray that when we struggle with doubts and fears, that you may speak deep into our own hearts of your truth and love. May we know the security that you provide, that nothing can separate us from your love. Help us to rest in your love. All this we pray in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Amen. I invite you to join with me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen. Loving God, we thank you for hearing our prayers, feeding us with your word and encouraging us in our worship today. Would you please join me? Take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. May the God of peace equip you with everything good for doing his will, working in you what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever.